Show my birthday. How are you, everybody? We're going to go through a speedy chazara, and we're going to hopefully do about six shiurim today, which we'll leave about four for another time, which we'll do sometime later this week or on Sunday or something. We'll talk about that at the end of the shiur. So let's start with Avodah Zarah, and that was Rabbi Schwartz's shiur on Avodah Zarah. So first of all, is Christianity Avodah Zarah? There are two issues to be discussed. First, is Trinity Bechlal Avodah Zarah, meaning Shituf, that is, might not be completely monotheistic, is that defined as Avodah Zarah? That's the first point. And the second point is, even if Shituf per se might not be considered Avodah Zarah, the fact that they believe in reincarnation, meaning that God became flesh and blood, so in which case they're praying to something that is flesh and blood, because however he got, for whatever reason, I don't care, but ultimately they're praying to that which is flesh and blood. So even if Trinity would not be Avodah Zarah, nevertheless Christianity would still be Avodah Zarah for this aspect of reincarnation. So the Rambam in three different places writes that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, in the Perish HaMishnayis, in the Yad HaChazaka, in Parachelek, and for the Rambam, these two reasons do apply, that both the fact that the Rambam does consider Shituf itself to be Avodah Zarah, and additionally because the physicalness, the physicality that they ascribe to the Lord, whatever you want to call it, is also going to make it Avodah Zarah. That's the first opinion. Therefore, according to the Rambam, all of the Mishnayis and Maseches Avodah Zarah, with all of the limitations of what you're allowed to do with an Oved Avodah Zarah and when and where, those will all apply to Christians. The Tosos asks the very simple question that all the halachas of doing business with Goyim, we see from our everyday life that we do the business with Goyim. So Tosos gives a number of answers to suggest how it could be that we do business with Goyim, and we'll see, despite the fact that the first mission of Avodah Zarah says that we're not allowed to do business certainly certain times of the year. So Tosos suggests that maybe there's a heter eva that would allow us to do things. Secondly, Tosas suggests that the Goyim in his times in France are not really religious, so therefore they're not real of the Avodah Zarah because they're not devout, they don't really believe in anything or do anything that's really anything significant. And Rabbeinu Tam gives a great kula that the Isra of Masav HaMatan only applies to those chafatzim that are actually employed during the Avodah Zarah service. But if it's just selling donuts or something, that would not be, as long as they're not crackers, but donuts, those would not be included in the Isser of doing of Masav HaMatan. Now, that's the Tosas. That's we have the Rambam, we have Tosas, and then the sort of the opposite extreme of the Rambam is the Meiri. The Meiri says in a number of places that when we talk about all these halachos of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, it's not talking about the Ovdei Avodah Zarah of our time who are gedurim and are not barbaric. It's only talking about the olden days when they used to be barbaric, but the ones who are gedurim b'ni musim, b'darkei hanimusos, they're cultured, they're somewhat edified, the Mishnayis and all the things of Ovdei Avodah Zarah won't apply to such goyim. But if you look more carefully at the Meiri, he might even say fundamentally there's no problem of Christianity, specifically, not just in general, of the Avodah Zarah only applied to the earlier barbaric people, but more than that, Christianity specifically, apparently there's a Gemara that says, that talks about Yom HaNotzri, and which we assumed referred to Christianity. But the Meiri and Avodah Zarah writes that that's talking about people who are Shaykh to Nebuchad Netzar, Nazri not from Nazareth, but Nazri from Nebuchadnezzar, and therefore he holds that, Miri would hold that Christianity would not be considered Avodah Zarah. And he has some other ayahs which we don't have to get into, how we know that the Meiri himself holds that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. Is the Meiri a valid reason to rely upon? Not necessarily, but nevertheless that is a shita opposite the Rambam. Now, the next point is going to be regarding Tosfos writes that the Gemara in a number of places says that we can't have a shutvus with a guy in any business deal. No such thing as having a business partner who's a guy, says the Gemara, because when you have a business encounter with a guy, there might be a shvua that he will have to make, and you might be causing him to be nishba in his God and violating, you will violate the Isra of lo yishama, not just lo yishma, but lo yishama, you shouldn't cause to be heard a swear in the name of a guy. Tosfos brings Rabbeinu Tam that says nowadays we can, and what Tosfos says is a little bit complicated. Why does he say that now we can? So there are a number of ways. Either because Tosfos is saying that shituf, meaning our of the Avodah Zarah, the Christians, are only doing shituf, and shituf is not real Avodah Zarah, so there won't be a problem of causing him to swear in the name of his Avodah Zarah, because anyway his Avodah Zarah is only shituf, it's only God plus. It's not just Hashem, it's God plus, so it's not Avodah Zarah, it's shituf that is going to be mutter, because over the Avodah Zarah is not, because shituf is not osir for a guy. Shituf is osir for us, it's Avodah Zarah for us, but for a guy, shituf is not Avodah Zarah. That's one way to understand Tosfos. And that's how the Ramah understands Tosfos. The Ramah Tak understands that Shituf doesn't apply, I'm sorry, the Isser of Avodah Zarah, Shituf being Avodah Zarah, does not apply to Goyim. I can't do Shituf, I can't believe in God and his right-hand man, but for a guy to believe in God and his right-hand man, that would not be a problem of Avodah Zarah. The second way to understand Tosfos, what Tosfos is saying, why nowadays we can accept swears, why we can swear with a non-Jew. The Noda B'Yudha says because it's only talking about the Maisa of Shavua, being Nishba, or causing a guy to be Nishba in the name of Avodah Zarah, isn't actual Avodah Zarah. It's not a Maisa Avodah Zarah. It's only being Nishba in, whoever he happens to hold is the God, but it's not a Maisa of Avodah Zarah. So therefore, Noda B'Yudha says, why did Tosfos allow you to cause a swear in the name of Avodah Zarah? Because the Isser is only to believe, to do Avodah Zarah, believe in the Avodah Zarah, but not to cause a swearing in the name of Avodah Zarah. That's how the modern people understand, the contemporary poskim understand, two ways to understand that Tosfos. According to the Ramah, Shituf doesn't apply to Goyim, the Isser Shituf doesn't apply to Goyim. According to Noda B'Yehuda, Shituf is Asr, it's just that you're allowed to cause him to swear. So we will generally assume that Christianity would be considered Avodah Zarah, even if there are no little idols involved. Let's talk about some halakhic applications. First of all, can you enter a church? So there's a mission that says that you're not even allowed to enter a city where there's Avodah Zarah. Certainly you cannot enter a church. The Igros Moshe points out that even if you go in just to look at the artwork, that would equally be Aser. And all the poskim, Rav Tzitzilyez, Rav Avadi, they all say that Rav Avadi says it's even Aser D'oraisa just to enter the church, and there's no heter of Mipnei Eva, and Mipnei Eva would only be Nisid Rabbana, would only permit Rabbana, and so if you hold that it's Aser D'oraisa to enter a church, Eva wouldn't be a mitigating factor. Regarding a mosque, that could be somewhat different because they believe in the same, Borei Olam format that we believe in, and therefore one could argue that since it's the same God, it wouldn't be Avodah Zarah, and therefore one perhaps would be able to enter a mosque, which is what Rav Avadia says. Rav Avadia says that even though there's Machlokas, the Ran and the Rambam about Islam, the Rambam who lived among them knew better, and it's interesting that he's being sort of pasquining Machlokas and Rambam like that. And so therefore the Rav Avadia would permit a person to enter a mosque, but the Tzitz Eliezer says that the Ram that I just mentioned, since they do bow down to Muhammad, even though their God format might be the same, but the Tzitz Eliezer would follow the Ram, that it is considered Avodah Zarah. So I guess if you're Sephardi, you can make it like Rav Avadia. If you're Ashkenazi, you go with, I guess, the Tzitz Eliezer, that it would be prohibited to enter a mosque, just like everybody agrees it's prohibited to enter a church. Halacha l'maisa, we do get these shilas relatively often. If there's any event that happens in the social hall of a church, young lady spoke to me a few months ago about a pottery class that's given on an overlook, right? An overlook in 188th is a church. overlooking 189th as a church. So with a pottery class, so Ramosha says that if it's a social hall or a basement where they have voting or some other, you know, karate classes and people, it's not, you know, it's evident that you're not going into the sanctuary or a classroom itself, that would be permitted if there is a separate entrance, of course, they're not going to the sanctuary entrance. If you have something that used to be a church, like the cloisters or Shechter Asers, because even if your intention is only, again, the church isn't being used anymore, and your intention is only going to look at the artwork, to admire the architecture, and like, well, that itself, Rishav says, is a different issue of Altifnu El Ha'elilim, of giving kavod and admiring that which is part of their belief system. To finish off this section, can a person say JC's name? So the Chavetz Yoreh says that the name Jesus was a name, a prior personal name, before anything happened and it became ascribed to any divinity of any sort, and therefore it is permitted, and apparently the girl also was make it like that. The second half of the name with the C could be more problematic because it has a connotation of messianic meaning, or it means something about the Lord, and perhaps by mentioning the C at the of JC, that would be perhaps, if you say that, it could be that it's like be mekabel him or it as an allele, and that could be a problem. But of course, the minug for Klai, so for so many years, was to say Yashka when referring to him. That is the end of the first shir. That was a Hilchas Avodah Zarah. We'll now switch topics, and we're going to talk about Rav Shechter's shir about doctors practicing on Shabbos in hospitals. So, the first point that is important to realize is, of course, for pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to do it for a Jew, you're allowed to do whatever you need to do. What happens when it's not just for a Jew? So here there's a Chasim Sofer who is talking about a case where a Nachri was invited or called or sent for the Jewish doctor to take care of their whoever was sick in their town and was on Shabbos. And on that case, the Chasim Sofer pointed out that if the Jewish doctor wouldn't take care of the Nachri, well, they would just, I don't know, they would kill the doctor, they would kill us. So therefore, there will be a heter pikuach nefesh, not like somebody wanted to suggest because of, oh, it's just mutter because of Rachel Dachinam. No, we don't accept that. But rather, if we don't take care of their people in a situation where they would therefore kill us, kill the doctor himself or kill us, that means it's pikuach nefesh for us to be mechal Shabbos to save whoever's in danger for them. And therefore, says the Chasim Sofer, it will be permitted in such a situation which could cause a pikuach nefesh for the Jewish people ourselves to, yes, be mechal Shabbos for a Nachri. In terms of being mechal Shabbos for a person who's not an Akum, he's Yisrael, but he's a mechal Shabbos b'Faresia, who's Dino Ka'akum, who's a Mumar. So there, the Mishnah Berurah says that one cannot be Mechal Shabbos for such a person, even though his last name is Friedman, Cohn, whatever else, because he's Dino Ka'akum. However, Rav Shechter told a story about Rav Avel Soloveitchik, who ran out to save some university student in Berlin, who is clearly not Bikoris and a Mechal Shabbos for Hesia. And so, I guess the Briskers held otherwise. Now, when we talk about doctors in hospitals, Rav Shechter feels very strongly that, again, the heter based on the Chasim Sofer is only because there's some, you're going to say, there has to be a function of saving Jews. Either you're saving Jews per se, or you're saving a goy so that they don't kill us, or the doctor, or you're involved, you're working at a hospital where you will be able to save Jews. You're working in the tri-state area or in a major metropolitan area that has a significant Jewish population, it's a Jewish hospital, but therefore, once you're in that situation, you'll treat the other people there as well, once you're there, but you're not going to be able to just become a doctor at a random hospital in the middle of Alaska or Albuquerque and work on Shabbos. Because there won't be you need the heter to go to save Jews. Once you're going to save Jews, then if you save only the Jews and not the others, that could cause problems, and therefore you will be able to save the Nachrim as well on Shabbos. So therefore, if a person, if a doctor works with a certain hospital where there are Jews there, and he gets a call, well, since he's working at that hospital to save the Jews, he will be able to take the call on Shabbos and drive in to save a Nachri who he's called in to save, because his setup is for, in the bigger picture, saving the Jews, and once he is there, he will also have to save the Nachrim that are involved. If a Jew can't get a job in a hospital that's in one of the areas, metropolitan areas, that does treat Jews, then he should look for another job. Let's talk about a number, about five different points in this shir, and we'll divide it into very distinct units. First of all, let's talk about Sakonas Eiver. So from a practical perspective, Hashem has said that if you are not a highly trained medical professional, you should assume everything. Whenever there's a sakonas aver, you don't know enough to assume that it's only a sakonas aver, not a sakona to the rest of the body. So if it's a real sakonas aver, you as a layman should assume it's sakonas nefashos, and of course b'machal Shabbos. Let's say you're a doctor, you're a highly trained person who knows that this is only a sakonas aver and cannot lead to a sakonas nefashos, then what is the halacha for sakonas aver? So clearly, a person could violate all isurim derabanan, any and all isurim derabanan to save an aver, but not deoraisas. The exception is, the Gemara says, that an infection of the eye, the Gemara says the eye is connected to the heart, and therefore the eye would be able to, a person would also be able to be Mechal Shabbos Daraisa to save something to do with the eye. There is a girsa that the Meiri has, instead of saying ayin, he has the word aver. So according to the Meiri, it would come out that a person can be Mechal Shabbos Midaraisa not only for sakanas ayin, but for sakanas any aver, which is not the typical assumption. The question is this Meiri a shitas yachid, really a yachid, only the one and only opinion who holds that sakonas aver is mechal Shabbos daraisa? In which case, even though we're dealing with pikuach nefesh, if it's just shitas yachid and he's the only one, we'll reject him outright. No one else says like that. Or are there a few, a minority opinion that some people, some of the poskim, you know, subscribe to, in which case you could be machmir for the shitas Mekel, however you want to look at it, for the minority opinion. So most poskim assume that, the Shulchan Aruch assumes, and most poskim assume that the Meiri is, there's no one like the Meiri, it's a wrong gear, so we don't have that, and therefore for Sakonas Eiver, a person is not permitted to be Mechal Shabbos on a Doraisa level. However, the Sridei Eish suggested that he found another few Shitos who sounded like the Meiri, and the Sridei Eish therefore wanted to be Mekel in be Mechal Shabbos Daraisa, even for Sakonas Eiver, based on that Meiri, who might have another one or two people who say like him. But that's not the general approach. That's the end of that section. Next section is Chola She'ein Bo Sakana. Here the halacha is, first of all, what is a Chola She'ein Bo Sakana? Chola She'ein Bo Sakana is either somebody's Nafal Mishkav, or chola b'chol gufo, Rav Schechter, and just in halacha l'maisa applications, has a very convenient way of describing it. Rav Schechter understands that anybody who is not functioning normally, my first shaila that I got when I became the Rav in Shank, I became the Rav on Yom Kippur. That was when my position began. So Erev Yom Kippur, as a lady was walking up the steps to Shank, if you're familiar with the steps, they're a little bit taller than regular steps, she twisted her ankle. And she needed to be driven home. So the question is, could we ask security to drive her home? The answer is, Baruch Hashem, I just had somebody run over to her shachter. So since she couldn't function normally, meaning because she had a twisted ankle, so shachter was that's chola she'en bo sakana, and therefore a person can, therefore a mule and achri would be permitted. So here we're not saying for chola she'en bo sakana that all yisurim drabbanan are permitted. We're saying amira lenachri is permitted. So if anybody doesn't feel well and they're chola she'en bo sakana, they have a migraine, they're not functioning normally, whatever it is, bad headache that they would otherwise lie down, even if they're not actually lying down, lamaisa, you could ask a guy to do anything and everything. Additionally, a Jew can also be mashmiya kol, could violate the issa, the gzeira derabanan of hashmas kol to help a cholef fall asleep. He could play music with it. He could play, play the violin, play the piano to help a person fall asleep. And similarly, the issa v'heter says that you could ask if there's a guy who has to write a prescription, and he's rushed and he's not just going to take the pen himself, he wants you to handle the pen, you can handle the muktza to give him a pen on Shabbos to write a prescription for a cholesh she'ein bo sakana, because we are going to be matir gzeiros, not malachas d'rabanan. We're not talking about all the 39 malachas d'rabanan, we're talking about those things that are only gzeiros, like mashmiya kol, like muktza, which is like gzeir d'rabanan. Those will be permitted for a cholesh she'ein bo sakana. That was that section. The next section that we'll discuss, Tzorchei Tinok.
Is refuah
Hold the questions for afterwards. The next issue will be Tzorchei Tinok. Tzorchei Tinok, we always consider a Tinok to have a din of Chola She'en Bo Sakana, and therefore for a Tinok you can always ask a guy to do anything that you want. There's Amir Nachri for Chola She'en Bo Sakana. The question is, what's a Tinok? So Minchas Yitzchak suggested that perhaps until age 8 would be a tinok, because Yerushalmi says that when it comes to fasting on Yom Kippur, 2 years before Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, so let's say Bas Mitzvah, 2 years before Bas Mitzvah, they should fast the whole day, so that's a 10-year-old. 2 years before that, they should fast a half a day, so that's an 8-year-old. And before that, they shouldn't fast. So Minchas Yitzchak derives from there that 8 years old would be a cutoff for what constitutes a tinok, and Rav Shachter says, what does fasting on Yom Kippur have to do with anything at all? It just depends on, again, Rav Shachter's perspective on what Chol HaShem V'Sakana is. Are you functioning normally? Is this kid functioning normally? If he is, then that's not a Chol HaShem V'Sakana. If the kid is not functioning normally, meaning he's crying, I don't care if he's 4 years old or he's 11 years old, if he's crying and not functioning normally, then one would be permitted to do Amir L'Nachri and whatever else is permitted for a Chol HaShem V'Sakana. The next topic will be Chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana. So of course, for Chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana, a person is allowed to violate anything and everything except Gilei Raya Shlichus Dam and Avodah Zarah. The question is, once somebody is a Chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana, is it permitted only to do the life-saving medical procedures, or also to do whatever other things that will make them comfortable, happy, and, you know, can you change the TV channel if they don't like that, you know, they like sports and not soap operas, could you even change the TV channel for them? So here, we have a Magen Mishnah. The Magen Mishnah on the Rambam, who says that D'chuyehi Shabbos b'etzel pikoach nefesh, it says, no, it's not Shabbos. The Magen Mishnah says that not only are you allowed to do life-saving medical procedures, but kol tzrachav, and therefore the whole idea of ma'achilin aso hakal hakal tchila, the whole idea of pachos mikashir on Yom Kippur, eating shiurim, that's not for a chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana. If somebody is actually a chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana, there's no halach of ma'achilin aso hakal hakal tchila. Give them a full chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana, give them a full 5-course meal with a dessert, an entree, and a soup on Yom Kippur. That's what the Magen Mishnah says. However, the Mishnah Berurah says we don't follow that Magen Mishnah. We only take care of tzrachav, but we only take care of the medical issues, but not called tzrachav. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, however, argued on the Mishnah Berurah, and the Briskers rejected all the proofs of the Mishnah Berurah, and Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was known to follow the Magen Mishnah, and tradition was that Reb Chaim Volozhin also held Lahakel, like, again, Lahakel in Hilchas Shabbos, Lahakmir in Hilchas Pikach Nefesh, that Reb Chaim Volozhin also held like the Magen Mishnah, and if you're allowed to do anything, kol tzrachav, and we don't say kal kal tchila, so when do you ever have to feed a person on Yom Kippur shiurim, which is for the goal of kal kal tchila? That's only when somebody is healthy now, but you worry that they might come to become a chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana. That's when we follow kal kal tchila. So if somebody's right now, you know, if somebody's already, you know, in the ICU, you could give them a full course meal. If somebody's, you know, you take them to the hospital to figure out if they're going to need to go to the ICU, and they're not, they might become a chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana, that's where we'll say, let them eat pachos mikashir. That's the end of that topic. The next topic is the sugya of hitira sofa mishum tchilasam. This discussion starts, the Gemara in Erevin says that we allow the soldiers who went to fight to protect the city to come back with their bows and arrows on Shabbos, and Tosa suggests that that's based on the Gemara in Beitza, where it says that you're allowed to do certain cooking things on Shabbos because of Heitiyos Sofa Mishom Tchilasom. So that's the reason, says Tosos, we want to make sure that the soldiers will be willing to go out to fight on Shabbos. So if they know that they might not be able to come back, they will be hesitant to go out in the first place, and therefore we permit them to come back. However, Magen Avraham says that this Kula of Heitiyos Sofa Mishom Tchilasom that will allow them to go out so that we allow them to come back after the fighting, even though there's no pikuach nefesh anymore, so they won't hesitate to go in the first place. That's only to permit an issur d'rabbanan. So, for example, if they had to, you know, they're carrying muktzah, we'll allow them to carry muktzah back from wherever they are, because otherwise they might not be so willing to go protect the city next Shabbos. Problem is that we assume that they were walking along the highways, which are Rosh Hashanah Rabban Doraisas. So how are they able to carry their weapons on if it's a Rosh Hashanah Doraisa? So the Chalkas Yov suggested, based on what we learned in the beginning of this year, those who learn Shabbos Hotzah is a Melacha Grua, and therefore Hotzah might be a unique situation that we were makel to allow them even for an Issa Doraisa because it's a Melacha Grua. Now, the Igros Moshe, of course, in the famous Hatzalah Psak, said that, at least in the situation of Hatzalah, he would be Mekel even for, again, specifically for Hatzalah, even for an Issa D'Oraisa, even for the lifesavers, the medical personnel, to drive back with their own car, which is an Issa D'Oraisa, also with his heter of Hitir Sofa Mishum Tchilasam. Now, when a doctor does go in on Shabbos, could he come back? There are three criteria, or any person, even Hatzalah, there are three very important criteria that a lot of people are not aware of regarding the parameters of the heter of Hitiyush Sofa Mishum Tchilasna. First of all, Rabbi Kaveger points out that, let's say a Hatzalah guy gets a call on Friday afternoon, 20 minutes before Shabbos, and he drives the person to the hospital, and then Friday night, could he drive back? The answer is no, because I don't know what Ramosha would say, but this is what Rabbi Kaveger says. The answer is no, because Hitiyush Sofa Mishum Tchilasam is only if you go in on Shabbos itself. Then we'll give you the kula to come back as well. Second parameter is that you only have this heter of coming back so that we'll help you make your decision and be willing to go in the first place if you actively have to make a decision. I'm a Hatzalah member, I'm a volunteer. I can either take this call or not. If I know I can't come back, I might not want to take the call. You know what? They gave me the heter to come back so that I'll be willing to take the call. But if I'm on shift in a hospital, I don't have a choice. It's my job. I'm obligated to. It's not a decision. Should I do it or should I not do it? It's my job. I have to do it. And therefore, they're not going to give me a heter to come back because I was going to go anyway because I'm a doctor. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, if the doctor gets a call on Shabbos, even if it's for a Jew, they will not be able to come back afterwards if there'll be an issur d'rabbanan, even an issur d'rabbanan involved, because we don't say if there's no decision that the person has to make. Thirdly, the third parameter is that we only provide the heter of Hitir Mishsofa Mishum Tchilasam if the initial Yitzia was to save Yisrael, but if it was to save Anachri, we will not allow the dispensation to return afterwards, violating an Isser Shabbos. That's that sugya. The final sugya in this shir is what are the guidelines for paying for medical services. So let's say you go to the doctor, you know, the guy, your next door neighbor is a doctor, and you want to ask him to check your baby's ears for an ear infection. So he does. And whether it's Chil Shabbos or not Chil Shabbos, but could he send you a bill? So the Chasam Sofer suggests the following chok. When a person is treating a Nachri, so to not charge a Nachri would be a violation of Lo Sechanim. So you have to charge them. Oh, but you made the money on Shabbos. So he suggests to give that money to Tzedakah. However, when it comes to treating Jews, we know from Ma Nibachinam Afatabachinam that any mitzvah that a person is mitzvah to do, they're not allowed to charge money for. So how do doctors ever charge, you know, doctor fees? They're only charging because of their schar batala. So meaning they're not, if I'm a doctor and I charge you for a visit, for an office visit, I'm not charging you for the office visit or for the procedure that I did. I'm charging you for somebody of my academic background, my intelligence, my skill level, for not being in the pharmaceutical, manufacturing pharmaceutical stuff. So therefore, what are you paying me for? Are you paying me for the procedure? Are you paying me for the treatment that you got on Shabbos? No. You're just paying me because you want to make sure, you and the rest of the community want to make sure that I stay in the field of medicine. And therefore, your payment is not a payment for the actual treatments, and therefore, you didn't pay the person for Shabbos, for his treatments on Shabbos. And therefore, it would be mutter to pay a Jewish doctor for the work that he did, for the treatments that he provided on Shabbos. Because anyway, you're not paying him for his work. Finally, when it comes to telephones, there's a whole issue about the Grumma telephones. Rabbanim were scared of Grumma telephones because it will cause people to use them not for emergencies. But Rashata said that based on Shlomo Zalman's understanding of electricity, when he argued on the Chazon Ish, using a phone is maybe not even a Nisa Drabbanan, perhaps, and certainly for a doctor, B'Malkam Choli, one could be Mekon, a doctor could clearly use a phone, B'Malkam Choli. That's the end of that shiur. Okay, the next one, do you want to do Hilchos Tzedakah, Rosh Hashanah shiur and Hilchos Tzedakah, or Hilchos Chol HaMoed? Who wants Chol HaMoed? Who wants Tzedakah? 3-2. Okay, so do Chol HaMoed. Okay, so Hilchos Chol HaMoed, Rav Elchanan Adler's shiur. So the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says Hamavaze es Hamado Sein Lo Chelek Lam Haba, and various Chazals talk about the significance of Chol HaMoed, and Rashi says that a person has to be nohig bohem, a should not be nohig bohem a minog chol when it comes to eating, drinking, and dressing. That does not mean that a person has to wear Shabbos clothes. They do have to dress more than they would on a regular day. Does not mean that a person has to have a seuda, but does mean that they have to have better food than they have on Shabbos. Now, the main question here is Isser Malach on Chol HaMoed Isser Asa Daraisa or Asa Midrabanan? The Gemara Chagiga has five different drashos, which I'm not going to burden you with, of how we learn out the Isser Malach on Chol HaMoed. But if we take those drashos literally, then we would assume that there are five potential psukim that tell us that there's an Isser Malacha, so it would sound like Chol HaMoed has an Isser Malacha Midaraisa. Tosus, however, suggests that all those are Asmachtas, and Tosus has three arguments why it cannot be an Isser Daraisa to have Malacha on Chol HaMoed. First of all, we know that the difference between Yontif and Chol HaMoed in terms of how many Aliyahs, four Aliyahs on Chol HaMoed versus five Aliyahs on Yontif, is because Yontif has an Isser Malacha, so yeah, Chazal aren't worried that you have to go to work or take care of anything, so that's why you see that there's a difference between the parameters of Issa Malacha on Chol HaMoed versus Yontif. Secondly, Tosus asks, how could we have these distinctions of something of Davar HaAved or not a Davar HaAved? I don't care how much money you're losing. If it's Asa D'Araisa, it's Asar. Clearly, he says to us, it's only Asa D'Rabbanan, and then you could play with Davar HaAved or not Davar HaAved. And finally, the Yerushalmi says, Klum Asru Malacha El Lechol Vilma Torah, that the Isser Malacha is Asru. Asru is a Lashon. The Rishami's Lashon of Asru sounds like it's an Isser Drabbanan. Therefore, Tosus holds it's only Drabbanan. Those Rishonim, the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rif, who say either explicitly or implicitly that Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed is Asru Midaraisa, well, what will they do with Yerushalmi that says Asru? Even if they hold that it's Asru D'Oraisa, it's still clear that the parameters of what is Asru D'Oraisa was Masrum HaKasav L'Chachamim. In the same way that the Torah gave authority for Chazal to set up the calendar however they want, so too here the Torah says it's Asru D'Malacha on Chol HaMoed. What are the parameters of Malacha? That is Masrum HaKasav L'Chachamim. Now, there are a number of nafkaminas, whether or not malach will be asa d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. First of all, could you ask a nachri to do malacha for you on Chol HaMoed? Well, if it's asa d'oraisa, while it's a shvus b'makom mitzvah, it'll be aser. If it's a malacha on chol moed, it's only aser drabanan, it's a shvus, amri l'nachri, but a shvus to shvus, which is the malacha itself, b'makom mitzvah, for mitzvah, would be mutter to do so. Fine. Also, of course, tefillin would depend, if there's an iser malacha d'oraisa, then the iser malacha constitutes an os, and therefore, you already have two oses, you have bris and iser malacha, so you don't need a third os of tefillin. If, however, there's no iser malacha of, d'oraisa, so then you only have the bris of, the os of bris, and you'll need the second os of tefillin in order to have the two osos that every Jew needs every day. Now, whether you hold that the iser malacha is d'oraisa, or you hold that the iser is drabanan, it's clear that the vort is not a vort of Isser Malacha like Shabbos and Yantar. It's clear that the whole point of these Isurei Malacha is only to preserve a certain character of the day. We're not going to go into Rav Adler's proofs to that Yisod, but it's not just going to be, you know, on Shabbos, is Nisra to do a Maisa Bonah, is Nisra to do a Maisa Orig, is Nisra to do a Maisa Kosev, a Maisa Otsa. That's not the vort here on here. It's these things are also perhaps d'oraisa, perhaps d'rabanan, but because either the Torah or Chachamim wanted to preserve a certain unique nature of simcha, of calmness, of focus on Tainug and Talmud Torah, and Malacha would get in its way. Let's talk for a moment about the concept of Tircha. You could have Tircha without Malacha, you could have Malacha without Tircha. So, is when we talk about malacha, there's some malachas, there are only malachas, 39 malachas, or whatever amount that would apply. Is it only the malachas, or is there also going to be an independent iser of just moving your couch up and down your stairs inside your house, which is not any malacha, but it would certainly be a tircha? So this point, Tosa says explicitly that Tircha, even without any malachas involved, would be Aser, and that's pretty much a psak in that issue. What about the opposite? Let's say there's a malacha that doesn't involve any Tircha. Could I flick on a light on Chol HaMoed? If it's not Litzorech HaMoed, it's not Davar HaMoed, I just want to flick a light on for the fun of it. Not for the fun of it, meaning to enjoy Yantif, just for no reason whatsoever. So there's no Tircha at all, but it is a malacha. Similarly, if I'm walking outside, I have something in my pocket. Do I have to empty my pockets if it's not Litzorech HaMoed on Chol HaMoed? Well, here we have a machlokas. The Emek Bracha brings a raya from the Beis Yosef that you're allowed to, as you're walking, to step on a little mound of dirt to flatten your floor. So that's Ashvuye Gumos, and nevertheless it's Mutter because there's no Tircha at all. The Chayadam says, however, that it will be Aser, since that was a Malacha, Ashvuye Gumos, that would be Aser even though it didn't involve any Tircha. So that will be a machlokas. I don't want to go into this. Right. Yeah, the Brahu brought a stira and a chiluk. Right. In general, when we talk about Hilchos Chol HaMoed, all of the gzeros that we normally apply, playing music, whatever, and muktzah, those do not apply on Chol HaMoed. So it's the malachas that are what are aser, and tircha is what's aser perhaps, machlokas, but the mukts and other gzeres do not apply at all on Chol HaMoed. The Radvaz gives a very good sort of compromise shita. The Radvaz says that if you hold that iser malacha is aser d'oraisa, so then it makes sense to say that malacha, even though there's no tircha involved, the maisa malacha would be aser. If, however, Issa Malacha is only Drabanan, so then if there's a Malacha that doesn't have any Tircha involved, so that would be Mutter. That's how he would give a compromise whether we say Malacha without Tircha should be Asr or Mutter. He says depends whether it's Daraisa or Drabanan. Halacha Maisa, we assume that Malacha is an Issa Drabanan, but Mishnah Berurah is Machmer for those who say that Malacha is Daraisa. So that's the bottom line. Let's talk about some of the specifics when it comes to the rules of Malacha and Chol HaMoed. So there are five categories. There's Davar HaAved, there's Tzorchei Moed, which has two subdivisions. It's Tzorchei Moed for food items and Tzorchei Moed for non-food items. Then there is a heter to do malacha for Ein Lo Ma Le'echol, someone who needs it for parnasa, for the most minimal parnasa. And finally, the fifth heter of Chol HaMoed is, of malacha and Chol HaMoed, is for Tzorchei Rabim. Let's talk about them one at a time. A Maisa Uman. Can you do a Maisa Uman for Tzorchei HaMoed? So you want to go on a trip somewhere. If the malachas will be as follows. If your malacha that you want to do is for Yontif, for Chol HaMoed, but it's a Maisa Uman, it's Aser. If it's not a Maisa Uman, then Tzorech Moed is Mutter. So for example, if you want to drive your car to Hershey Park and you get a flat, changing a flat, is that a Maisa Uman? Please say no. Therefore, you will be able to change a flat. If on your way to Hershey Park, you need to change your carburetor, let's assume, I don't know much about cars, let's assume your carburetor's changing carburetor is a Maisa Uman, even though it's for to enable you to get to Hershey Park, you will not be able to get down on your knees on Yontif and change your carburetor. That will be a Maisa Uman. Similarly, what comes out is two applications in terms of Polaroid cameras and in terms of printing, which is very common. The issue came up with Polaroid cameras. On one hand, the act of pressing, focusing and pressing a button, that's not a Maisa Uman at all. But the finished product, it looks, you have a beautiful picture that came out on Yontif. So there, is that considered a Uman? Do we look at what you did or what the finished product was? Well, that was Machlokas. Rav Moshe Feinstein was Mekel. Anyone could shoot a picture, it was Mutter. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, since the result is it looks like a Maisa Uman, that would be a problem. The application that's very lamaisa is, of course, when you type something and you want to print it out, if you assume that sending something to print is a maisa hedyot, so if it's tzorech hamoed, it should be okay. But if you assume that the finished product, like this paper, looks like a beautiful formatted whatever it is, even though the machine did it all, so that would be a finished product. That would be, according to Rabbi Yaakov, a problem, but even if it would be tzorech hamoed. Now, what we just said is only for things that are not for food. For food items, you could have Maisa Uman if it's Tzorech HaMoed. So if you're a pastry chef or a food decorator, you could have the most, you could do design the most beautiful pastry designs and icings on cakes, even if it's a Maisa Uman, if it's Tzorech HaMoed, because that's for Ochel. The question will be, what happens if you have something that's Tzorechei HaGuf, but not Tzorechei Achila? Will we permit a Maisa Uman for something that is not food, but it's more than just regular Tzorchei HaMoed? For example, the Mishnah says that a woman is allowed to put on makeup even if she does a job like a Maisa Uman. What do you mean? But that's not Ochel. I thought Maisa Uman is Asur, even if it's the Tzorchei HaMoed. The answer is that since this is an extension of Ochel, it's for Tzorchei HaGuf, it will be permitted. That's what the Rishonim say. Tzorchei HaGuf is like Ochel Nefesh, and Maisa Uman will be permitted if it's a Tzorech HaMoed. So accordingly, we could sort of extrapolate, if let's say there's a toilet that's broken that you need for Yontif. You need this toilet, so it's not food, but you need the toilet, so you could do a Maisa Uman to fix it. Similarly, if a lock broke, you can't get into a room or your house or out of your house, and that will be, again, it's not food, but it is a Tzorechei HaGuf, that would be permitted even if it involved a Maisa Uman. Let's say your glasses broke on Yontif. Same thing. Even if you need a Maisa Uman to fix your glasses, since it's an extension, again, it's Tzorechei HaGuf, it's not just a regular Tzorech, even though it's not Ochel Nefesh, it will be permitted to have the guy, for you to do a Maisa Uman to have your glasses fixed. This Shaila that we're about to discuss, I got, I think, this year and last year. A few times. Could a person schedule, what happens usually is I get the Shaila, somebody's going back to Chicago, back to Los Angeles, back to wherever they live for Yontif, and they're covered, they have better insurance there, or who are the regular doctors there, they want to take advantage of their trip back home to their parents, to where they regular, especially if you're Canadian, so you have a full health insurance there, and not much here, so you go back to Toronto for Yontif, could you go to the doctor, could you go to the dentist for your regular checkups? So the halachas are as follows. If there's any tsar at all, whether it's for dentist or doctor, clearly you could go. Why? Because of what we just said. Even though it's not for food, but it's for tzorchei it's for tzorchei haguf, that would be permitted even for ma'ase u'min. If there's no tzar, and you're not worried that anything's going to, you know, exacerbate and problems will cause, just you just want to go for a checkup. So here, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said it's aser, because there's not a tzorch haguf, nothing's in pain, you don't have any problems, and it's a zilzul yantif, it's a ma'ase u'min, so what's the heter? However, if Scheinberg or Yashiv do permit going to doctor and presumably dentist based on a separate heter that Shulchan Aruch has to take medicine. We said that gzeros don't apply, so you're allowed to take medicine, so going to the doctor is sort of the same as refuah, and that would be permitted. Davar HaAved would be a different calculation also, yeah. So, yeah. So that you have to figure, yeah, that would probably be, yeah, I think that was when I was Mekel's past Yantif for that. Even if you don't have, even if you have a machlok about this, Dabar Aved itself, again, if you have a coverage that you don't have coverage there, it would be cheap, but you'd probably have Dabar Aved as well. If you had something wrong, would you knock on my door?
No, I'm saying, but is it just, there's no malacha involved in
the... It's a zilzul yantif, yeah, they point out that even though there's no malacha involved, it's a zilzul yantif. Thank you. And some, perhaps it would be even if there's no malacha. You say it's not a tircha or is a malacha. Okay. It could be that looking in your ear with the light is also a malacha. Turning, just flicking on the light. I mean, anyone could flick on the light, but I get it. Good question. Okay, that's one category. We finished talking about tzorcha yantif. Now we're going to go to the next category and talk about davar ha'aved. For davar ha'aved, if there's a loss, Chazal say, oh my gosh, you're going to lose money? Do whatever you want. We don't limit it to, oh, only if it's not a ma'ase u'min, a ma'ase hedya. No, davar ha'aved, do whatever you need. However, there are a few parameters that we have to limit ourselves to. Even if there's a davar ha'aved, there's a big loss, hefsed harbe, again, it's not for a hefsed katan, it has to be hefsed harbe. We will permit it if it, we will not allow a davar ha'aved if it's an excessive tircha. There's a lot of tircha involved, then we're not going to give you the heter of davar ha'aved. Secondly, there's an issur of mechavin malach to lemoed. If you're specifically going to wait, right, you have school all year long, fine, chalamoed comes, you could take care of your XYZ. So you're scheduling to do it on yantif, it is a davar ha'aved, but you scheduled it specifically for this, for chalamoed, that's aser. And of course, you're trying to point out that davar ha'aved only means you're going to lose capital. You're going to lose principal. It doesn't mean you're not going to make as much as you otherwise can. It's not a... Menias revach is not the heter. The heter is hefset of keren. And of course, even if there's a ma'ase u'min, davar ha'aved will be permitted. Now, the next section, which could be related to davar ha'aved, is doing business is not a malacha. Doing business is not necessarily a tircha. So why does Rava say in the Gemara that prakmati is aser? So maybe you could argue that it's tircha, but the Aruch HaShulchan says that the whole tachlis of moed is lechol v'lilmot Torah. So if we end up getting involved in our business, it's going to undermine the whole tachlis of the day, and we're not going to be able to focus on what we should be focusing on chol hamoed. Now, within the realm of doing business, there's a chil between doing a bitzina versus bifarhesia, and therefore, if it's a tzorech moed, we will permit doing business bitzina. So therefore, you'll see, and if you go to Brooklyn, Borough Park, and Flatbush, sometimes stores are open, food stores certainly, but the door, the shutters are a little bit closed, or they have different hours, and that would be the shinui of doing business, that would be doing business with a shinui, the tzorech moed. Post and give another heter to do business if you have to see if it supplies. If you'd be closed for 8 days and you thereby lose clients, lose customers, so then even though there's no davar, it's just a minyas revach for the money that you'd make over those 8 days, but the fact that you lost your customer base would make it into a davar ha'aved. That's the end of davar ha'aved. Next topic will be the heter of tzorchei rabbi. So the Mishnayos talk about the fact that on Chol HaMoed, they used to fix roads, and used to plug up the water cisterns, and fix the mikvahs, and take care of all the arifas, egla rufas on Chol HaMoed. So, if you want to take care of egla rufa, next time you go back to Toronto, Chicago, wherever you're from, you can take care of egla rufa, tzorech moed on yantif. Now, why is this mutter? So, this is a fabulous It's just a great idea. It's a great piece of trivia that no one knows, and it's great to tell people because it's so true. So the Ravid says that the Chachamim specifically planned that they should take care of Tzorech HaMoed on Yontif, because they realized that whenever there's a Tzorech Rabim, whose responsibility does it fall on? Nobody. And therefore, will it ever get done? No, because nobody's responsible. So when could we schedule it? Schedule for a time that anyway, people will be able to, there's nothing else that they could do, and people will be able to do it. Because if they leave it for regular, no one has, doesn't bother anybody specifically, no one will take care of it. When people are off, that's the best time to do Tzorech HaMoed. That's a fascinating svara that the Ravid gives. But the Raman gives a very significant limitation to Tzorech HaRabim. You're not allowed to build a shul on Chol HaMoed. It's only Tzorech HaRabim that relates somehow to Tzorech HaGuf. For example, I have to fix the floor so people don't trip, the roads so people don't trip. I have to fix the water cistern so we can have cold water. I have to repair the mikvah so the women could go to the mikvah. Those are all Tzorech HaGuf on some level, but not just any Tzorech HaRabim that does not have any shaychus to Tzorech HaGuf. One last ha'ara on this shir is the ha'ara about ksiva. Ksiva can you write l'tzorech moed? So if you write ksav ashuris, so that might be in ma'isa uman. And we learned that tzorech moed is going to be asur if it's a ma'isa uman. But if you write, you know, a regular ksav ashita, cursive, block letters that are not ma'isa uman, so that's a ma'isa hedyot. And if you do it b'shinui, sorry, if you have a regular ksav, that's a machlokas, not sure what the machlokas is, and therefore if you do it b'shinui, it turns into maisa hedyo, the tzorech hamoed, that could be mutter, but of course if you're writing your chidushei Torah, you're writing your drasha for Shabbos, that would be a davar ha'aved, and that would be mutter to write, presumably, even with a maiser, that would be davar ha'aved, and therefore it would be, even a maiser uman would be permitted. Okay, let's go to the next shir. Do you want to do Rav Shechter's shir on wills and inheritance, or Rav Shechter's shir on Hilchot Tzedakah?
Tzedakah,
okay. So we learned from a pasuk in Ezra that there's a chiyuv for every Jew to give a shlishis shekel bishana, and therefore whether you could afford it or not, every single Jew must give 1/3 of a shekel every year. That's in terms of the minimum. In terms of the maximum, al yivaz beis yoser michomesh, of course Rav Shechter is always famous for saying that that doesn't apply if you're wealthy, and in America a lot of us are wealthy even if we don't think we're wealthy, and therefore the limitation of al yivaz beis yoser michomesh, because we don't want to become aniyim ourselves, might not apply, because even if we give, if we make $250,000 a year and we give more than 20%, we'll still have money to live on, we won't become poor, and that all has to be dealt with, you know, subjectively, to figure out the situation. Now, in terms of Meiser, there's a three-way machlokas what the source for Meiser is. So the Ravid assumes that the Pasuk says Aser Taser, and that's the source for giving Meiser, just like there's a source for giving Meiser to the Levium, which were the people who were, Meiser to Levium and Meiser to Aniyim. Just like there's Meiser Aniyim in the Torah, which have to go to Aniyim who have less than 200 zuz, so to the Ravid says that there's a mitzvah daraisa for us to take a tenth of our earnings and give it to Aniyim who have that income level of less than 200 zuz, whatever that income level would be. We do not pask like that. Rather, it's a shaila. We assume that's a drasha, it's an asmachta, and it's either takana d'rabbanan, or probably it's a minhag. Now, this minhag is a minhag that goes back to who? It goes back to Europe, it goes back to a minhag from the time of the Gemara, it goes back to the time of the Mishnah. It's a minhag from Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, because by each one of the avos, we learn after either an explicit pasuk called Shetitin Liyasa Asar Nilo, Mea Sharim, either through Chazals or through the Psuk, and we see that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were knowing to give Meiser, so it's a not stam minhag, it's a real minhag. Nevertheless, inasmuch as it's a minhag, it depends on your style of giving and how you were nohag. So for example, could you give your meiser to other things other than aniyim? Could you give it to Hatzalah? Could you give it to Chai Lifeline? Could you give it to Zaka? Could you give it to Israeli cancer research or whatever other things? So here, could you give it to your shul? Could you give it to your mikvah? Could you give it to your erev? All those issues, the poskim suggest that you should make a tnai. The first time that you give meiser, you should say, I'm giving the meiser that I want to accept upon myself is the kind of meiser, not just to aniyim, but rather to whatever general, the, you know, the more generic word tzedakah that we use in our modern, you know, lexicon, and make a tnai, just like before, you know, the Rosh Hashanah said that when you, there's machlokes, when you wash until you die, is it to the knuckles or to the wrist? So some of the poskim said you should write the first time when you're mufla samach le'ish, when you become 12 years old, you should make a tnai that you're only gonna, that you're gonna really make hadin, you're only be mekabel, you're gonna be machmir, but you're not, you're making a tnai, not mikra hadin. And you're only going to do it till your wrist, not Medina, because then you're going to be in trouble for Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur you're only going to do till here. Halach l'mais, you don't have to be worried about that. But just like over there, the first time you do something, you make a tnai to not bind you to the more chamer position, so too, the first time you give meiser, you should make a tnai that you're going to give meiser to general things, not just to aniyim. Of course, very important, and I get this shaila all the time, meiser is only obligatory if you are not poor yourself. If you don't have enough money to live on, you do not have to give meiser. So if, for example, you are being helped by your parents, whether you're single, whether you're married, you might not be chayev. Even if you do earn a few $1,000 a year, you don't have to give meiser on that because you don't even have enough for yourselves. That's something to keep in mind. What Rav Shachter does tell people in those situations is that you should keep a cheshbin. Let's say I'm being helped by my parents till I finish smicha, graduate school. So, but I had a part-time job. I did some tutoring. I worked over here or over there, so I should keep a cheshbin of how much I earned. Not keep the meiser because I don't have enough money to be independent yet. Let's say I owned over those few years, I earned $20,000. So when I, hopefully in the right time, I'll be able to afford $2,000 to give to tzedakah, I'll do it then. That's what Rav Shachter suggests to people. Now, the next section that I want to talk about is a little bit about the nature of the chiyuv of tzedakah. So, the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that the communities were able to be kofa individuals to give tzedakah. The question is, Tosafot says, how could you ever be kofa to give tzedakah? After all, we know that we don't do kfiyah on any mitzvah that's matan schara betzida. And by tzedakah it says, l'man yarichun yamecha, whatever, l'man yivarechecha Hashem. So how could we force people to give tzedakah if it's matan schar betzida? So to the Shita Mikubetzis answers that when it comes to the tzedakah taxes that were in the community, the kfiyah wasn't forcing somebody to do the mitzvah of tzedakah. No, you can't force somebody to do mitzvah of tzedakah because matan schar betzida. There's no kfiyah. Rather, when there's this community tax that somebody owes money to tzedakah, they actually owe the money. The kfiyah is not for them to do the mitzvah that they are obligated to do. The kfiyah is, you owe money, we're being kofa for you to pay the money that you owe. So the chiluk between kofa to do a mitzvah as opposed to kofa to give money that you owe. From that sheet to Mekubetzis, you see clearly that tzedakah is actually a shibud to somebody else, not just a mitzvah on you to give money to somebody else. They already have a lien on it. Similarly, we find a similar application in the concept of amiras l'gavoa k'misiras l'hediotami. So certainly, at least let's start with hektish, then we'll apply it to tzedakah in a moment. When it comes to hektish, if I say hareza hektish, then I don't need to do the maisa kinyan, whether it's a kinyan misira, kinyan ksiv, or whatever kinyan is necessary, I don't need to do that kinyan. My saying that it's hektish already made it belong to hektish. There's a gigantic machlokus whether that is so, that when you say something it belongs to blank, it already does without the kinyan. Does that only apply to hektish, or does it even apply to tzedakah? So if I say I give X amount to, you know, yeshiva XYZ, or to poor person XYZ, Ploni Almoni, does that make it theirs already, or does it not? Nafka mina. Let's say after the person makes that announcement, he dies. He makes a pledge he makes a pledge in the Yizkor appeal. And the next yantif, they're saying Yizkor for him. So he never got a chance to write out the check. So are his Yorshim obligated to write out the check that he planned or intended to write? If we assume that Fritz Stucco, we also apply Mirasa Lehediot, Kamisirasa, Kasum, Kamisirandami, then it already is owned by the Tzedaka, and the Yorshim have to, it's underlined to Tzedaka already, the Yorshim have to, it's not theirs, they have to shovel the money out. But if we assume that, no, only by Hektish do we say this rule, but not by Tzedaka, well, he planned on writing a check and he didn't. And the Yorshim got all of his money before he wrote the check, and it's their money. That Machlokas is Machlokas Shulchan Aruch and Avkas Rochel and the Ramah. The Ramah is Mekel, and the Ramah assumes that only to Hektish does it become Hektish's once you announce it, but you don't owe it until you actually give it. Another similar discussion is the following. Is Tzedakah Chal B'machshava? Well, we know that Hektish is Chal B'machshava. A person has intention to give something to Hektish, it's Hektish's. Does that apply also to Tzedakah? That again will be a machlokas, and we do paskin that Tzedakah is Chal B'machshava. Rebbe Baron Leibowitz points out an important kula. That's only if you have a definitive, you just think, oh, there's a certain Tzedakah, and I'm going to give, and you have some numbers floating around your mind, that's not Chal. But if you have in mind a definitive Hachlata that you're going to give X amount to Tzedakah, even though you didn't articulate, you didn't verbalize anything, you are chayav that quantity to tzedakah. Just one, we mentioned Tosis' question earlier, how can I be kofa on tzedakah if it's matan schar betzida? So before we answered that you're not being kofa somebody to do a mitzvah, rather you're being kofa somebody to give the money that they owe, the Reb Chaim suggested a different teretz. The Reb Chaim suggested that the concept of tzedakah is not a chovas hayachah, but it's a chovas hatzibur. The communities have to have tzedakah funds. And therefore, we're kofa a person to give tzedakah not because of his individual mitzvah, but we're kofa him just as part of the community's responsibility to have the tzedakah fund. We're not making him do a mitzvah to give tzedakah to Ploni. We're just, as part of the community, the community has to have a tzedakah fund, so we're forcing him just as part to play his part in the Chovas HaTzibur. Next point. We know that the Torah says, the Torah says, Lo sinasos Hashem alkech, we're not allowed to test Hashem. However, when it comes to Meiser, the Pasuk in Nevi'im says, B'chanuni nabazos, that you're allowed, that we're allowed to test Hashem, that if we give Meiser, Nevi'im, there it was talking about, and the Ramah says, applies that Pasuk by Meiser Ani, or Meiser Rishon, the Ramah extends it also to Meiser Ksafim, that you could test Hashem, Kivyachal, with giving Meiser. Accordingly, does that apply only to Meiser or even to regular tzedakah? Meaning, can I give tzedakah and say favur something or other? Like, I'll be give tzedakah so that you do this, Hashem. That's really testing Hashem. So the Pesachei Shuva says it will be aser, and only by Meiser you'll have to be Menasa Kodesh Baruch Hu, but the Minhag Olam is not like that in all of our Mishaberachs. We say, Bavur Shes Ploni, no dare, whatever, and therefore Hashem, you have to do all these different laundry lists of things that we demand we give because we gave $18 to the shul. Next point is an important point. This is the levels of Kedima in Tzedakah. So, when we talk about who gets Tzedakah and how much Tzedakah they get, the first overriding criteria is that the people have greater need get tzedakah first, get the bulk of the tzedakah. However, if everybody has the equal need, then we learn from Psukim who gets the bulk of the monies, again, within equal needs. Everybody needs shoes. It's not, if somebody needs lunch and somebody else needs shoes, you give all the money or as much money as needed to the people who need the food. But if everybody only needs shoes, it's a question of who should I buy shoes for? So then it goes as follows. Let's work it. Let's assume you have $100. The first level is is Mishpachas Av. Then it's Mishpachas Eim, because it's not called Mishpacha, it's called She'er. That's a lower level of connection. Then it's Ani Iracha. Then it's Ani Iracheres. And somewhere in there, what was it, the Chazon Sofer says that Ani Eretz Yisrael is like Ani Iracha. I don't remember, we'll check it there soon. So let's see, it goes as follows. So if I have $100, I'm supposed to give two-thirds of it to my father's my father's side. I'm going to buy shoes with $66 from my father's family. That leaves me $33 left. Of the $33 left, I'm going to give two-thirds to my mother's family. That's $22. And the other third, $11, will be for other aniyim. Of those $11, I'm going to give two-thirds for aniyei iri. That's going to be, let's say, $7-$8. And the other $4, those will be for aniyei iracheres. That's how the kedimas and tzedakah work. Now, when we talk about krovim, mishpachas av, mishpachas eim, we're talking about krovim that are close enough that they're actually going to be pasul le'edus. Doesn't just mean a relative, because all Jews, everybody's my relative if you go back far enough. And Rav Shechter likes to say that when it talks about aniyei iracha, it doesn't literally mean your city based on geographical or where the county line is. Rather, aniyei iracha means the institutions to which you have a shaykhus, so it means the yeshiva that you went to, the yeshiva that your grandchildren went to or are attending. That's all in terms of tzedakah. When it comes to not just tzedakah, but yeshivos and supporting Torah, there, Igros Moshe says that two-thirds of our wealth should be go to supporting Torah, and one-third of our wealth should be going to support Aniyim, and you have to throw that into the whole cheshbon as well. Next point, regarding tzedakah to Aniyim, we know the Gemara says that Mefaris Maniyah of Dekachavim Imra Aniyah Yisroam Ipnei Daki Shalom, but there's a big machlokus whether it only means if there's Mefaris Aniyah Akum Aniyah Yisroam. Does that mean if there's a Jew and a guy online, so since I'm giving the Jew, I can't turn away the guy from his, you know, from the stuff that he's asked for, so I have to give the guy also? Or does it mean, since in general we give to Jews, so in general, if I bump into a guy, I also have to give it to a guy? So that's machlokas aposkim. Rav Shechter is assuming that it's only when they're together with Jews do you have to, and therefore on trains, since in general Jews usually don't panhandle on the trains, Rav Shechter says it's not ani Yisrael im ani Yaakum, therefore there won't be a chiv of Daki Shalom, and a person would not be obligated to give goyim on the trains. The Rambam has an interesting shita, and he says that when do we say that Mefaris Maniye Akum Imaniye Yisroel Pnei Darkei Shalom? When do you have to come on to Darkei Shalom? That's only for an Oved Kochav Mazalas, an Oved Avodah Zarah. But if a non-Jew is not an Oved Avodah Zarah, then you're obligated to give that guy Midoraisa based on Rachamav Al Kol Ma'asav. That's an interesting Chumrah of the Rambam. Okay, next point. When we talk about Meiser, there was a Birka Yosef who had a tremendous kula who says that you only count your Meiser earnings after you have already spent all of your basic necessities. So if I make $100,000 a year and I spend $30 on housing and $20 on food, so I'm only left with $50, I only have to give $5,000 a year to tzedakah. That's what the Birka Yosef says. No one really holds like that. All the achronim assume that, the primary achronim assume that you earned $100,000, you have to give $100,000, $10,000 to tzedakah. And with your $90,000 left, go ahead and pay for your basic necessities and whatever luxuries you have. However, when a person does calculate, let's say they earn $100,000 a year, and they pay $20,000 to tax, so it's really that they only earned $80,000. And in order for them to earn $80,000, they have to drive to work and pay tolls, so knock out another $5,000. So really, they only earn $75,000. And in order for, let's assume it's a woman's going to, or you going to work, you had to pay $15,000 for the babysitter so that you could work and earn your $100,000. So really, you no longer earn $75,000. Your earnings after your expenses are really only $60,000. So you're really only going to have to pay $6,000 a year in terms of your Meiser. One last point in terms of making nedarim. Let's say a person made a neder for tzedakah. And then you found out, you realize, you check your bank account, write the check, and you realize, oops, I forgot there was a mortgage payment due yesterday, and I have a lot less than I thought I had. Or I find out the institution to which I made the neder is not as good an institution as I thought. So, be matir the neder. So, the Shach writes that a person should not be matir neder via charata. Because if I do it via charata, saying I would never have wanted to do it in the first place, that is toa al harishon. I'm sorry. The opposite. If a person wants to do it with charata, that would be considered like toha al harishonos, feeling bad about the good things that I've done. Rather, a person should be matir neder if they have to, if it's appropriate, only through a pesach, saying something like, "Oh, I thought I had more money available," and not that I feel bad that I did this. Now, in general, we say, "Tov asher lo tidor mishat tidor velo tishalem." So you're not supposed to make nedarim if you're not going to fulfill them. Well, let's say you are going to fulfill it. So what should we? Is it if I will, and I will follow through with it. Is it yes appropriate to make a neder? Well, here we learn from Yaakov Avinu. The Torah says that Vayida Yaakov neder lemor. Lemor always means to tell somebody else. Well, here it's just Yaakov Avinu standing by himself. Vayida Yaakov neder lemor. What's lemor telling you? It's not telling somebody else. So Chazal learned from lemor to teach Bnei Yisrael that when you're in a makom tsar, a makom of tsara, like Yaakov Avinu was, who's being run after by his brother, wanted to kill him, then it's appropriate to be noder. So even though we say normally, tova shelo tidor mishat tidor v'lo tishaleim, in a case of an eis tzara, it is specifically appropriate to, yes, be noder. And that's where we get the inyan of being noder on Yom Noraim, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and even on Yom Tovim, there you may have din, and therefore it has a din of like an eis tzara, and it would be appropriate to tell you a cute story. I davened the Yom Gizel of Avenue J, and our previous rabbi, Aaron Levine, who used to be a professor and he taught in this the contemporary halacha program as well, the economics part, the ribbis issues. So he was the rabbi of my shul, and there was one yontif, a Pesach, when a lot of the more established people in the community were all away. They're in Florida. They're at their children. So the appeal, the Yizkor appeal, was going to be much, net much lower profits because all the big guns were away. So they asked the Rav if they should, push off the Yizkor appeal to 2 weeks after Pesach. And he said no, because the whole purpose of the Yizkor appeal is that b'schus, the whole point of the Yizkor is that b'schus tzedakah, there should be the aliyah for the neshamas, so it should be held. Okay, well, we'll call them, we'll make a separate phone call to them when they come back. But the Yizkor appeal should be when Yizkor is recited. And this would be now an additional answer that Rosh Hashanah was saying, that these are Yemei Hadin, each Yontif is Yom Hadin, and therefore it is appropriate to be Noda B'Shas Tzara. That's what we learned from Yaakov Avinu. Okay, that's the end of the shiur about Tzedakah, and I think the last shiur we'll have time for one more, we'll see. So, let's do Tumas Kohanim. We'll do Tumas Kohanim, and then we'll see if we should do wills and inheritance or not. Okay, so Tumas Kohanim. There are three kinds of Tumah in the world. Three kinds of Tumas Mace. There's Maga, there's Masa, even if you're not touching it, and there's Tumas Ohel. Now, Tumas Mace Akum, if you have a non-Jewish corpse, so Maga and Masa are definitely going to cause Tumah. When it comes to Tumas Ohel, that's going to be a gigantic Machlokas Tanoim, Machlokas Rishonim, Machlokas Ashkenaz and Sfardim. The Shulchan Aruch is Machmir, and the Ramah is Mekel. But even the Ramah who is Mekel says we should still be Machmir to try to avoid a Kohen. This is probably for Kohanim, to try to avoid Tumas Ohel, even for an Akum. Now, there's an important Raivit. The Ravid says that just like we know, there's a halacha called Tumah B'chibur, and while you're attached to, if I'm touching the corpse right now, can I hold a sheretz? Yes, I can. Because while I'm tummy anyway, I'm not being most if anything, I'm already tummy. So the Ravid adds to that and says that, let's say this morning I touched a mace. I'm no longer touching it right now. It's now the afternoon. Can I touch another mace? It's not going to in any way delay my tara process. So maybe it says, no, I'm still touching the mace, because anyway, this is my day of tum anyway. I can't start my clean days till after today, because today I touched the mace. So there, that's machlok. The Rambam says that I'm not allowed to touch a mace later in the day. And the Ravid is mekel, because I'm not being mosif tum al tumaso. I'm already tummy for today, and I'm not going to delay anything. That's what the Ravid says. And if we take that a further step, it would be that Kohanim nowadays are all Tmei Mace. Every day we assume a Kohen becomes a Tmei Mace. If that's true, so according to the Ravid, if you became a Tmei Mace today, you should be able to touch, to become more Tmei, to touch more things. According to that, says the Dalgum Revava, it would reason that we could make ourselves a Svek Svek. Do we pass like this Ravid? I would never pass like this Ravid, that nowadays Kohanim could just touch, you know, touch corpses all day, because every day they're considered to be Tamei because of our situation in Galus, and therefore it's as though they're not being Mosif Tumal Tumaso, and therefore it will be considered Tum B'chiburin. I would never rely on that alone, but the Ravid said it. And also there's Machlokas regarding whether there's Tumas Ohel in the first place by Mace Akum. So suggest the Dalgal Merivah, but we could have a Svek Sveka that would permit a Kohen Bizman Hazeh to go into an Ohel where there's a Mace Akum. Safe, maybe Akum isn't Mitami Ba'ol in the first place. And even if an Akum is Mitami Ba'ohel, well, you could use the Ravid who assumes that whenever you became Tummy that day, you're allowed to touch more Tumah. Well, every Kohen every day has halachically considered being Tameh, becoming, contracting Tumah, and therefore he should be allowed to become Tameh later in the day. So if I have both of these together, we'd have a Svek Sveka, suggested Dalgal Merivava. And some people suggested, relying on this, again, according to this Dalgal Merivava, we have a Svek Sveka that would say that a Kohen can be Metameh Ba'ohel Bizman Hazeh. So some wanted to suggest that, oh, so Kohanim could go to medical school if they don't touch anything. If they're in a medical school and they're in a gross anatomy lab with dead bodies, that's okay if they don't touch them, because maybe there's no Tumas Ohel Ba'akum, and even if there is, maybe they can rely on the Ravid who permits becoming Tame a second time if you were Tame earlier in the day. But we reject that. And the Chazon Sofer says that even the Ravid doesn't hold that way, and the Ravid is a Das Yachid, and the Ravid didn't mean that, and therefore it's clear that this will not be a reason, rationale to permit a person to go to medical school, a Kohen to be in a laboratory with a dead body, even if it's a Goy's dead body. And similarly, the Igros Moshe adds that to use the Svara of Sakonis Nefashos, that's just the Hevel, because Sakharis Nefajos says you have to save lives. It doesn't say you have to go to medical school. And additionally, there are non-Jewish doctors. And additionally, there are Jewish doctors who are not Kohanim. So don't say Svaras of Pikoach Nefesh, because that's Shtus. Let's talk not about becoming a doctor, but talking about going to visit patients in a hospital. So the problem is that there might be a dead body somewhere in the hospital morgue or one of the floors, and you'll be going to be going underneath the same roof that person is on, and the roof will carry the Tumas Ohel of that mace. So if it's on the same floor and the door is open, the Tumah will travel through the door onto any open doors in that whole floor, go straight through the hallway. But even if the door is closed, and we know the morgue has a closed door, and any place where there's a dead body, the door is closed, there's nothing going to go through, no tumah going to be traveling through the hallways, there's a different issue entirely, which is sof tumah latzeis, that even if the doors are closed, if at some point the mace will be removed through this doorway, either the back entrance, or the side entrance, or the front entrance, or the elevator door, that doorway will be make a person tameh, and therefore a Kohen would not be able to go through that doorway, even if there's nothing there now, and there are no doors open there now, that would still be usher. However, some the Yeshua's Yankiv writes that Sof Tomolatzes. What's the Svar of Sof Tomolatzes? How do you know? Maybe they're going to just leave the guy. They're going to leave a body there forever in that room where it died. Well, of course not. There's a mitzvah to bury the body. Well, that mitzvah might only apply to Jews, and therefore suggests the Yeshua's Yaakov, since the mitzvah to bury might only apply to Jews. Only by Jews do we assume that there will be an Isser of Sof Tomolatzes, and therefore by Akum, where there's no mitzvah to bury Jews, we will not apply, there's no definitive, you know, it's not necessarily that the guy is going to be taken out at all, and therefore we won't apply the svar of the did of Sof Tomolatzes by an Akum. So Shatha suggests, if you have these two things together, Sof Tomolatzes by an Akum maybe doesn't exist at all. And the whole thing that we're concerned about is we're not touching the guy, the dead body, the corpse. We're not carrying it. We're just worried about being in the same room. It's ohel, tumas ohel for an akum. So if you have, it's again a sesfek sveika. Let me not say it's a sesfek. It's a chumra, agabi chumra, because we hold mikra din, the Ramah holds mikra din, that really tumas ohel by a guy is mutter mikra din. Ramah says bimach, but it's mutter min din. And Yeshua's Yankov told us that for a goy, there might not be a din of Sof Tomolatzes for a goy either. So it's a chumra, gabi chumra. So one could be mekel. But that's Rashef's opinion, that there's no problem of Sof Tomolatzes by Meis Akum, but many people reject it. Nowadays, you have to be less concerned about elevators because they usually don't take dead bodies through the, you know, the visiting elevators. They usually use a service elevator in the back. Next issue that a person has to be concerned about is, even if there are no dead bodies, there could be literally skeletons in the closets that the doctors use to teach residents, etc. But halacha l'maisa, can a kohen go to visit a sick person? So Moshe Feinstein and Igos Moshe writes, Medina, you could assume that whoever's there, you know, I'm not talking about Eretz Yisrael, Medina, you could assume that rov dead bodies are goyim, which me'ikr hadin, Rama said, are not metame bohel, and therefore the tzarech gadol, a coin can be mivarke cholif. Again, if it's the tzarech gadol, if the person's father or son, you know, is the patient, it would be great tzar. If it's for shalom bayis reasons, the person's wife is in the hospital, then a person b'shas atchak would be able to rely on mikra hadin and go into and assume that, like the Ramaz paskins, that mikra hadin is no tumas ohel for akum. Next point. The next point we'll talk about is what happens with the pregnant Eishes Kohen. So my father-in-law is a Kohen. That means my mother-in-law, when she was pregnant, could she go to a Levaya? Let's say especially before, you know, a woman is showing that she's pregnant, she doesn't want people to know. So she doesn't go, everyone will know she's pregnant. So could she go? So the Rokeach suggests that maybe it will be mutter because of a sex faker. Safek, the baby will be a nefel. And even if the baby will be a full-term baby, it might be an akeva who's not bound by the laws of tumah. So again, when we're talking about the pregnant Eishes Kohen, we're not worried about the woman. We're talking about the fetus within her might be a male who's bound by tumas kuna. So the Rokeach gives this sex faker. Safek nefel and safek maybe will be an akeva. Magen Avram says, hey, I don't know, why do you have to come on to Svek Sveka, asks the Magen Avram. Tumah Balua doesn't become Tame, something that's Balua inside. If I swallow a ring and then walk through a cemetery or walk or touch a mace, that the ring doesn't become Tame because it was inside of me. It's Balua. Oh, so Achiezer gives a very fundamental teretz that Reshefter takes and flies with. The Achiezer suggests, you know why you can't just use the halacha of tuma blua, tara blua, to enable a woman to go to a levaya? Because the issue with the iser for a kohen to become tame is not an iser to become tame. Rather, it's an iser to come close to a mace. We always thought that the iser of tuma is you can't become tame, a kohen can't become tame. Says Achiezer, no. It's an iser to be cut off to a mace. So even if technically the fetus wouldn't become tamei because he's balu in his mother's stomach, nevertheless, if his fetus would be in an ohel ha-meis, he's still karav lameis, and therefore would be aser. That's why the Rokeach had to give the svar of sex feika and couldn't give the technical rationale of Tumah Belua. What the Achiezer is saying is, we're going to see, is going to be used both Lahakel and Lahachmer, that Kohanim don't have an Isser, oh, you can't become Tamei. They just have an Isser, don't get close to a mace. Oftentimes, becoming Tamei means you got close to a mace. We'll see sometimes, or Shachter will say that when you're flying over an airplane, that's not coming close to, and you're never, 3,000 feet over a mace, even though halakhically you might become Tamei, but that's not what the Kohen is Osir in. The Kohen is Osir to become Karav Lameis, and therefore Shachter would hold, based on the Sachiyaz, it would be Mutter for a Kohen to fly over a mace, even though he's becoming Tamei. But that's not the Isser. It's not to become Tamei, it's to be Karav to a mace. But, be that as it may, in this sex Zeka that we just cited from the Rakeh for a pregnant woman who might be carrying a boy, well, once she reaches the ninth month, well, there's not a suffix nafil anymore. So you lost one half of the suffix. Or nowadays that we have sonograms, we could find out if it's a boy or a girl. So it's ultrasounds, it's Eshel Levrurei, and therefore again, you don't have the sex Zeka. So if it ever becomes the mice that a woman. That a woman, an Ashes Kohen, has to go to a Levaya and doesn't want to because she doesn't want people to find out, so she should do an ultrasound. And if she's carrying a Nekeva, so she's not to worry about it. If she's carrying a Zacha, then she shouldn't go. Another application of this Achiezer's Yisod, this bomb, this Achiezer's Yisod, that the Isser is not for a Kohen to become Tamei, but for a Kohen to become Karav Lameis, is regarding the halacha of cherev harehu kechalal, that not only you're not allowed to touch a scalpel, you're not allowed to touch a sword. I'm sorry, not only you're not allowed to touch a corpse, you're not allowed to touch the scalpel that touched the corpse, or the sword that touched the corpse. Now, the Ramah says that this issue, cherev harehu kechalal, is a machlokas, and the Ramah himself is actually mekel. Tosis, though, asks, how could there even be a possibility of Cherev Harei Kecholol? Tosis is assuming that every house, Ein Bayis, Asher Ein Sham Meis, Ein Sham Mateches, every house the Tosis assumed had some metal that at some point had touched the mace. Yet you wear a watch to a funeral, that you're going to tell me that watch can't be touched by a Kohen 5 years later because it touched the mace? So Rav Shechter suggests that with Achiezer, the reason why it's mutter to touch metal that contracted a tumah is even if the Kohen would become tumah. However, the Isser is not to become tumah, the Isser is to become karav lemeis, and by touching a scalpel that touched the mace, you didn't become karav to the mace. That's how Shef would explain this heter. Okay, let's talk about the next topic, which is, and I guess we'll finish with this shiur today, just 3 more minutes. Unless you want otherwise. So let's talk about a car. Could you drive in a car, let's say you want to drive in a car right over a cemetery or wherever else that you might contract tumah, will a car itself be chotzeis b'fnei tumah? So, 2 reasons why a car would not be chotzeis b'fnei tumah. The first is because ohel zarek lo shmei ohel. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer's questions that maybe ol zarek lo shmei ohel and won't be chotzei, that's only if it's mamish suspended in the air, it's mamish flying. But if it has, or it's being held up in the air, but if it's either the car itself has wheels that go on the ground, that's not considered an ol zarek, and therefore it will be an ohel and would be able to be chotzei. Similarly, maybe ol zarek is, this is the Shut Sholem Meshu says, that maybe an ol zarek lo shmei ohel, when it's something that never flies or that doesn't intend it to fly, it just happens to be carried or suspended or floating now. But if a car is made to fly, made to drive, so it's darko b'kach, then we will not use the kula of ohel zarek lo shmei ohel, we will consider it an ohel. And therefore perhaps it could be chotzeis. So that's one reason why, so ohel zarek would be the first reason why a car might not be chotzeis bein hatumah. And another reason is that the car is metal, and metal, something that's mekabel tumah, can't be chotzeis bifnei hatumah. So for those 2 fundamental reasons, again, we have 2, rejections perhaps of ohel zarek, but for those 2 fundamental reasons, a car will not be chotzeis bifnei hatumah, either because it's an ohel zarek or because it itself is mekabel tumah and can't be chotzeis b'fnei hatumah. In terms of airplanes over cemeteries, we said that here you could have an airplane go directly over a kever, and that could be an issue of ohel. We'll get to what I mentioned earlier, the fact that the airplane is made out of aluminum, so is that metal or is that not metal? If it's metal, then we're in trouble, and because it's going to be mekabel, it's going to not be chotzeis b'fnei hatumah. If we assume that aluminum is not the metal that the Torah was talking about, so therefore the aluminum could be chotzeis b'fnei hatumah, and it's not a problem for me, Mr. Cohn, to fly over a cemetery. So the Torah lists only six metals. And the question is, when the Torah lists only those metals, are they just examples of metals in general, or are they exhaustive only these metals? So the Gra Taka says only these six are metal, and therefore aluminum, which is not one of those six net metals, will be chotzeis b'fnei hatumah, and a kohen could go on an airplane. However, the Tiferes Yisrael says, no. The Torah is telling you what a metal is, but anything that has these characteristics, when I was in chemistry in high school, we learned that anything that's malleable and ductile, those are the qualities of metal, and even if it's aluminum and not Oferis and Bedil and Zav and Sekesef, it will still have a din of metal and therefore will be a problem. Another problem that you could have is, even if you assume the plane is made out of aluminum, but some of the screws are made out of steel. Steel is made out of iron, which is one of the six metals, and therefore it's the screws, even though they're not the ohel, they're mamid ohel b'davar, you're mamid the ohel b'davar mekabel tumah, they're the maimid, just like we learned last semester by the screws that hold up the sukkah, according to the Chazon Ish, and therefore it will make the whole airplane be mekabel tumah because it's being held together by those yes metal screws. However, if you go like the Achiezes, or Rav Shechter holds, like I mentioned 5 minutes ago, that if you're thousands of feet above the tumah, above the grave, even though yes, the kohen will become tameh 100%, but that's not aser, because the iser, the way the Achiezer says, is not for a kohen to contract tumah, rather for a kohen to be karov the tumah. And if you're 3,000 feet above it, you're not close to it, and therefore it will not be aser. We'll finish the shir with what about going not over a cemetery but going in a plane where the plane itself is carrying a coffin to Eretz Yisrael? So if you can make a box that's not mekabel tumah, so the box will be chotzeis b'fnei hatumah and you'll be safe. That should be great. The problem is, we have a few problems. The problem is, maybe that coffin, even if it was chotzeis b'fnei hatumah, maybe it's ohel zarak, because it's in a plane that's flying, literally. And therefore, it's not going to be chotzeis b'fnei hatumah. Well, some people say that, no, but if you're sitting in aisle, in row, 33D, and the box is wherever it is, you and the box are always going to be moving at the same relative speed. You're never going to be coming close to another. Maybe that's not considered ohel zarak. Others reject and say, Lamaisa, I don't care what you're doing. Lamaisa, the box is moving, so it's an ohel zaruk. And what does the passenger Kohen's movement make any difference at all? And therefore it's considered an ohel zaruk, since the box is moving, flying through the air, and it won't be chotzeis b'fnei hatumah. And that will be a problem. Some other people say, a funny svara, Shlomo Zalman says it, that the box is sitting on the... Let's say the box will... the box is chotzeis. But how is the box, what is it preventing, what's preventing the box from falling down 3,000 feet to the ground? It's being held up by a plane. And a plane is mekabel tumah. So even if the box would be chotzeitz, but it's maimid, v'davar ha-mekabel tumah, and then you would still have a problem. But a lot of people reject this chumrah because what happens if you take the plane away? You'll still have a box. Maybe it will fall, but you still have a box that is chotzeitz. So that's a rejection of Rav Shlomo Zalman's chumrah. So it's best to fly on planes that do not have mesa. Now let's take a vote. Do you want to do the shir on wills and inheritance now? Or should we leave that for another time? Leave it for another time. Okay, I don't blame you. Yeshikach. So let's think when we will have our next Meeting today is Tuesday. Let's have a vote either for Thursday, same time, or